The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lou Need Lewis, and today I have the honor and privilege of introducing a very special guest to the show, Padma Gordon. Padma is a spiritual counselor, movement educator, women's group facilitator, writer, mother, and a lover of life. Padma has been assisting people on their evolutionary journeys for over 25 years. She teaches people the physical, mental, and energetic mechanics of being present through a mindfulness-based movement practice. Padma currently facilitates movement classes at Ecstatic Dance in Fairfax, has her private practice in St. Raphael, where she assists both individuals and couples, and is a teacher on the Insight Timer app. She is currently writing a book about how to have a thriving long-term relationship. Padma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lanid.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Quite a delight. I'm looking forward to hearing your story and your background and, of course, your morning routine. So let's jump right into it. Tell us, how did your journey begin to lead you here over 25 years later?
Let's see. How did my journey begin? Well, I have really been on the spiritual path, on the path of evolution, since actually longer than 25 years, probably 40 years, and have been practicing meditation fairly consistently, not quite for 40 years, but for a lot of that time. And I just have always been someone who has looked within and been seeking for the deeper meaning. So I've encountered various teachers and practices. And my life, really, my life's work and what I'm sharing with people in the world is kind of an amalgam of all these different practices and kind of what I've learned along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I love that you've always looked within. A lot of us, we're scared to go within, honestly. We are afraid of what we might find.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. So go ahead, tell us about some of the work and you do with your clients.
Well, I work with both individuals and with couples. And I do have an office in San Rafael, California, which I'm not using right now due to our current state of world affairs and this pandemic situation that we're in. So I work with people over Zoom and over the phone. And I just really help people to look within because, as you said, Lunid, it is scary. It's scary because it's unknown. Mm-hmm. We go inside and we're going into the unknown. We go inside and we're going back the way we came. So we're going to encounter ourselves. We're going to encounter our resistance. We're going to encounter so many things. And it can be very helpful to have somebody holding space and being present while you experience what there is to be experienced. And so I teach people how to be present, how to be with themselves and sensing themselves through the body, really physically and energetically. So physically, what am I feeling? We can call it, for instance, fear, since there's a lot of fear right now mm-hmm. in the world. We can call it fear, and when we turn toward it, we experience a set of physical sensations. Maybe our hearts beat faster, or maybe we're contracting somewhere, or grinding our teeth or furrowing our brow. And so we just experience that. Because the thing about emotions is that they're temporary. And so if you're willing to stay present and be with your emotions, they will change and they will dissipate. So I teach people how to really find the inner resources, coming back inside, finding the inner resource of that lives inside of you, that quiet place that can hold everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I work with people and we look at also on the mental level, what are our limiting beliefs?
That's big.
You know, what are our limiting beliefs? What are the stories we're telling ourselves and how can we see them for what they are?
Yeah, the limiting beliefs is really big because a lot of us we're riddled with negative thoughts, right? I like to call them automated negative thoughts, and we have over 60,000 of them a day. And so It really requires the stillness that you're talking about to quiet the mind down, to actually observe these thoughts and then make the differentiation and realize that you are not those thoughts.
Yes, that's well put. Absolutely.
Now, I know you do some work with, you do some somatic mentoring. Can you walk us through what that is? What does it entail?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I work with somebody in somatic mentoring, I really take them through how to be aware of these subtle nuances. It's kind of breaking down the process that I just briefly described. And so what is it like? How do I stay with myself? How do I feel myself? How do I incrementally discover the kind of architecture of the arising of the habit patterns? Mm-hmm. And what do I notice in my body? And so really being able to sense yourself in very subtle ways, to sense the sensations, to sense the energies, almost so that you could feel the blood flowing through your veins. So just really breaking that down and then seeing what is in the way of that. Because mostly, as you said, 60,000 negative thoughts plus a whole bunch of other thoughts, right? We spend a lot of time in our heads. We're inundated with technology and with the news and everything. And so to come down out of your head and into your body and into your heart. And how do we do that? So step by step, breaking it down, how do you really come back to yourself? Because if you come back to your body, you come back to your breathing, you come back to that stillness, this is what is real. Then we're coming back to the present moment. And that's why, for instance, the breath is so useful, because it's happening right now. And so that's really the direction, is to land and rest into the present moment, which means turning away from the past and the future, which is actually an excellent thing to do right now in the midst of this pandemic, is just to really turn toward the present moment. And if you catch yourself, you know, streaming ahead into the future, just reel it in, because that's, we don't know, which is basically, pandemic or no, we don't know what the future is going to bring.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then just going back to observing the breath is actually going to bring you into the present moment, making you more aware, alleviate the anxiety and the stress, right?
That's right. Absolutely. I mean, the breathing is one of the best things you can do. First of all, it's free. It's free. It's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And so in any moment, and this is one of the practices or assignments I give to my clients, is, you know, if you're working at your desk or wherever you're working, set a timer to go off once an hour. And then for 30 seconds, just breathe.
Right.
And so you're training yourself to come back and to release the stress and to release your shoulders from being, you know, hiked up by your ears. And you just take a breath and you let them go. So just creating space. Breath creates space to be with yourself and whatever is happening.
Yeah, and then do you encourage an attitude of gratitude during that time of stillness?
Absolutely. Gratitude changes everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as much as you can bring gratitude into your life, the more the better. Even being grateful for the challenging things. Mm. It's much easier to be grateful for the beautiful sunny day or the tree full of blossoms or the love of someone or a pet.
Right.
But to be grateful for the challenging moments, that's really where we get to stretch wider.
That's where growth happens.
It sure does.
Yeah, it takes us out of our comfort zone. And because we're so apt to get upset and frustrated when things don't go our way, we'll ask the questions, why us? But in reality, it should be, you know, thinking that life is happening for us, not to us. Yeah, every experience is meant to help in that growth process you mentioned.
It is. And to not take it personally, that because wanted things will happen, you know, unwanted things will happen. And to just be able to, like you said, to be grateful, to welcome it as much as possible, even if it's hard, even if it's not your preference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, being grateful for all of it, because it does grow us. Mm-hmm. It grows us big time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious about your ministry. You have a ministry called the Responsive Body Movement. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I practice as a minister in a non-denominational church. It's called the Association for the Integration of the Whole Person. And it was started many years ago by this man named Mel, who was a Sufi. And it's really a container for people who aren't practicing traditional therapy, but are still doing different healing modalities and different counseling modalities. And so it's really, I feel like I'm ministering under kind of this larger umbrella of healers and people who are devoted to truth, devoted to love, devoted to spirit. I'm ministering. When people come to me, I'm ministering to their hearts and souls. I feel very privileged, actually, that I get to meander around and tend to people's hearts and souls.
It's interesting because I grew up in the church as well, and I find it that believers don't tend to dabble in the area of yoga or meditation or mindfulness. Do you find that in your ministry?
That people don't?
Yeah, it's
don't participate, or they don't dabble.
They don't dabble. They don't tend to participate. It could be because maybe it's the older generation too. They don't like the mm-hmm. mindfulness. They just believe, you know, God is the greatest healer and God is going to heal them. And so I find it, they don't tend to do the work. You know, faith without works is dead, tends to actually seek out any alternative outside of the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, as I said, it's a non-denominational church, and anyone who comes to me is in my congregation. And really, anyone who comes to me is ripe and ready to do their work. And all of my clients are wonderful, courageous beings, and they're willing to look within. I actually really don't work with people who are unwilling.
Right.
I mean, resistance is welcome, and I'm not interested in arm wrestling. So I do find that people are actually very, very willing. It's maybe sounds like it's different, maybe with an older generation in a more traditional mm-hmm. church setting. This is like an alternative church setting,
good.
I would say.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Now, you also teach in the Inside Timer app. Now, you've developed this app and you're facilitating courses on there?
I did not develop the app. The app, I don't know who developed it, but it's the biggest free meditation app in the world. It has over 35,000 meditations on it. So I am only one of many teachers. There are lots of wonderful meditations on there. I probably have I must have close to 30 meditations on there right now, having to do with sleep or just calm or self-love, valuing yourself, lots of different things. And really, you can put in my name, just search Padma Gordon, and you'll get to see my meditations. And there are courses on there, and you can pay a subscription price, but you don't have to have access to all the meditations. It's just for the longer courses. Mm-hmm. That you have a subscription price. But it's a wonderful app. It's a really wonderful app. And there's lots of teachers from all over the world on there. And if you also put in the search field any kind of issue you're having, it'll come up with different meditation suggestions. So I highly recommend it.
That's impressive. Over 30 mm-hmm. courses. That's great.
Well, not 30 courses, just 30 meditations. Mm. The meditations are ranging from anywhere from 10 minutes to 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they're guided meditations. They're deep relaxation, bringing you into yourself, bringing you into your body. There's one up there on relationship because that's really what I'm passionate about these days. And I'm going to create a relationship course, an audio relationship course, which will be comprised of 10-minute meditations as well as some practices you can do.
Oh, and do it as a couple?
You could do it as a couple or you could do it yourself. And because really the primary relationship is with yourself.
Yeah.
It all starts with you. So that's why we each have to do our work. And you can definitely, there'll be exercises that you can practice with a partner if you're in a relationship.
Interesting. So tell us, Padma, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
That's great. Get up, dress up, show up. Well, what is my morning routine like? Well, when I wake up, I look out my window and see the big eucalyptus tree and look out into the sky and give thanks. That's my very first thing. I just lay in bed just for a couple, few minutes and just really give thanks. I'm a big fan of silence in the morning. I love silence in the morning. I don't just jump on to devices or anything. So I start with that and then give my partner a hug and a kiss. Good morning. Mm-hmm. And hop out of bed. And usually I go outside and we live in California. So I go and I take a hot tub for a few minutes and I kind of meditate out there under the trees, under the sky, drink a big glass of water.
Nice.
Yeah. Water is key in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all the time, but especially in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Rehydration.
Rehydration. Absolutely. And I come upstairs and I pick up my journal, which is really a gratitude journal. And I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for in the present. And I feel them as I write them. Mm-hmm. And I really just take a moment to kind of embody them. And then I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for in the future. And I'm grateful for them in advance. So by being grateful for them in advance, I am calling them to me.
Right.
And I'm kind of vibrating that frequency out and calling that to me. So I'm vibrating a lot of health right now in this moment that we're all healthy. And I'm already grateful for the fact that we're healthy, everyone I know and love and beyond. And then I write down my goals for the day, usually between 3 and 5 goals, very specific. And then I close my eyes and I meditate anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. It depends on what I have going on. And sometimes I do silent meditation. Sometimes I'll do a meditation off of Insight Timer, or I also have practiced the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza. Love his meditations. So I'll do that. And then I have my tea, like a nice cup of hot tea, and drink some more water, take my supplements, and then I exercise.
Wow.
Then I go either downstairs or outside. We live in a place where there's hills behind the house. So I'll go out and take the dog with me and exercise, take a hike, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on what day of the week it is. And I come back and take a shower and get dressed and have a little bit of breakfast and get to work, either at home, well, right now at home, or seeing people in my office. So that is my...
Very thorough.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel very blessed, actually. And I just want to say about the morning routine, and I love that you have this show because your morning routine is the key to your day. It's the key to your day. It's the key to your life. And I just want to say that in this time with this pandemic situation going on, maintaining your morning routine, maintaining your practices, maintaining the way that you take care of yourself in terms of sleeping and meditating and eating and being kind to yourself and others is more important than ever. So just as much as you can, keep your routines up, even though the world seems to be turned upside down, it will serve you. Mm-hmm. Because when we do our morning routines, when we do our practices, we create steadiness and calm in our systems. And then we are that. when we're moving through our lives. We are that when we're moving.
In the midst of the chaos.
In the midst of the chaos. That was the last meditation I just created, was finding calm in the midst of chaos.
Yeah. Well put. I really love that. And you're absolutely correct. The morning routine primes you for the day. Doctors and psychologists that I've worked with have mentioned that what you do in the first 8 to 10 minutes set the tone for the rest of the day. It really primes you. It primes you for what the day is going to bring your way. And if you're starting off chaotic, anxious, nervous, that energy carries through with you. The same way if you get up and the first thing you look at is your social media, it really, that habit is formed. You'll find yourself with every hour looking at your social media. Because it's just a habit, because habits are forming without our permission. They're forming with or without our permission. Mm-hmm. If you do something, the brain remembers it and it lives on repetition. So it becomes ingrained into your subconscious mind and you find yourself doing it even when you're not even thinking.
That's right. Yeah, I'd say don't even touch your devices at least for a couple hours if you can manage that when you get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Except to maybe put on a meditation or use a timer. But if you go into social media, I agree, it's a precarious place to be.
Domino effect.
Absolutely.
Padma, how can my audience connect with you?
Well, you can reach me through my website, which is padmagordon.com, PADMAGORDON.com. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn if you just put in my name. And also on Insight Timer. And I just want to say that if you want to learn more about my work or you want to get in touch with me and learn more about my book, which is, the working title is Being Together, How to Have a Thriving Long-Term Relationship, I would love to be in touch with you around that. And I've just launched the pre-order campaign today. So that is also available. And I would love to be in touch with your audience. Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah, we'll put that on the show notes for the listeners. I thank you so much for your time and energy today.
Great. Well, thank you, Lenny. It was really a pleasure to be with you and connect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
percent of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
All treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically, so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with the 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.